Federal Environment and Energy Minister Josh Frydenberg has slammed South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill's plan to alleviate the state's energy crisis. The $550 million plan seeks to gain more local control over the largely privatized national energy market and create a smooth transition into renewable energy. But the federal government has said South Australia's proposal will drive up energy prices in South Australia and the rest of the nation. South Australia had a turbulent summer. Extreme weather conditions caused major blackouts throughout the region that led to questions about the state of their power supply. As politicians around the country continue to debate these questions and Australia's use of renewable energy, South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill announced in a press conference this morning his state's plans, addressing his issues with the current national energy market.
We have a national electricity market which is failing not only South Australia but failing the nation. This extraordinary state of affairs, where our abundant solar, wind and gas resources leads this nation into an energy crisis.
Dr. Roger Dargaville, the Deputy Director of the Melbourne Energy Institute, thinks the state government's actions have come from the lack of faith and uncertainty the people of South Australia have in their current energy supply.
The South Australian energy market has seen a number of crises in the recent months. So there was a major blackout in late September last year, and then early in February we had rolling blackouts with approximately 90,000 customers losing power for 45 minutes during peak demand on a very hot summer's day. So those two events have led to a lot of uncertainty about the reliability of supply in the South Australian market, and therefore people are looking to the government for action to help make the system more secure.
Dargaville explains how South Australia owning their own gas-fired power plant and the emergence of batteries as an energy contingency plan might help to end the public's uncertainty, even if it may not be the best choice in the long run.
One of the key points about the recent partial blackout that left 90,000 customers without power was that the Pelican Point power station was in fact not running at the time because the operators had decided to sell their gas onto the market rather than use it to run the power station. So it wasn't a problem of lack of capacity, rather that a company that had control of that asset decided not to use it to improve the energy supply to the consumers. So the government's decided if they have their own gas-fired power station, they will be able to run it at peak times to be able to secure supply for consumers. On the side of batteries, in much the same way that a gas-fired plant will provide extra generation during times of peak demand, if there are batteries available, large-scale batteries available in the grid, they will also be able to provide additional power onto the grid during times of peak demand and thereby increase security of supply.
Will it work?
I think it would work. The question is at what cost? If you look at what the current demand for electricity is, there's actually no problem with meeting that with the existing assets that are available, even if the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing. So to be having this sort of knee-jerk reaction of saying we need to build more generators is probably not the most cost-effective reaction.
Even with an influx of cash from a billionaire such as Elon Musk, who recently promised to deliver a giant battery system to South Australia within 100 days, or it would be free, Dargaville still doesn't think the battery model is financially viable.
Batteries are still quite expensive. They're not really cost competitive with a gas-fired generator. Unless you look at the numbers that Elon Musk is quoting and take them at face value without factoring in a lot of additional costs that are likely to be added on once you actually get the batteries fully installed and operational.
However, Grattan Institute Energy Program Director Tony Wood, although skeptical, would not refuse Elon Musk's offer.
Well, one thing is that most things that look too good to be true usually are. But when you've got someone like Elon Musk, then, you know, probably one of the planet's best marketers at the moment, you certainly wouldn't, I wouldn't put him aside by any means. And I think if he can make this happen commercially and put his money behind it, then I'm all for it. You know, and his bravado, for example, if it was bravado, that he can build this thing that he can build 100 megawatts or 100 megawatt hours in 100 days, go for it.
What about privatized versus government run? If Elon Musk came in with all this money and helped, you know, fix South Australia's energy crisis, it seems like South Australia got into this situation, at least that's what Weatherhill has said, is because of the privatized companies, and they want to take back their power in the energy market. So to me, it seems like, you know, six to one, half a dozen to the other.
Yeah, and that's why it's still unclear as to how exactly they're going to do it. How are the various bits going to work together? How will they you know, if the government is going to own and operate the gas generator but not own and operate the battery, how will a battery work in that market?
Federal Minister for Energy Josh Frydenberg has also responded to South Australia's plans. He thinks Weatherhill's proposal will not only drive prices up in his home state, but across the country.
Today, South Australia wants to rip up that national agreement, and in doing so, will only drive up prices for its people as well as those in other states.
Federal Environment and Energy Minister Josh Frydenberg ending that report.